Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
If you've experienced the goodness of God, would you just make some noise for Him today? Yeah. Remain standing for just a moment. Today we are kicking off a brand new series. And one thing that we do at Next Level is we want to honor the text. We want to honor the Bible. And the reason we do that is because we believe the Bible is the voice of God. It's how we hear from God most clearly. And so we honor it by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. And when we get to the reference, we have a little fun. If you're new, we admit this is going to be a little weird. Just embrace it and just go with it. When we get to the reference, you'll see 2 Corinthians 5. And then there's two dots between the 5 and the 17. And we like to have a little bit of fun. And we just say dot, dot. And we pump our fists at that dot. So if you would read it with me nice and loud, our scripture for today, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." 2 Corinthians 5, dot, dot, 17. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? God, we just come before you and we ask that you would speak to our hearts in a personal way today. We ask that you would remove the distractions from this room, that you would remove the distractions even from our own minds, that we would hone in and focus and listen. But God, your word tells us that you don't want us just to be people who listen. You want us to be people who hear and do what you say. So I ask that you'd help us today to have the courage to do whatever you tell us to do. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may have a seat. Well, man, worship was incredible, right? Yeah, awesome. So thankful for our team. Well, today we are kicking off a brand new series. It's called Movies Modern Day Parables. And this is a recurring series, meaning every summer we revisit this series. And to go along with all of our series, one thing that we do at Next Level is we find a devotional, a plan or a program to get you in the Bible during the week. And an app that I highly recommend if you want to walk with God is a free app called YouVersion, or it's often called the Bible app if you're looking in the app store. And we partner with YouVersion and pick a devotion to go along with our series so that what you hear on Sunday, you can then be reminded of and grow a little bit deeper during the week. And we have some steps if you want to learn how to download YouVersion, and you can actually make Next Level your church, and that's how you can find the plan. And so we're actually doing a movie plan in YouVersion that will go right along with this series and will help get you in the Word of God. So if you want to follow the steps there, you can join YouVersion. It is free and you can make Next Level your church. Well, if you are brand new to Next Level and you've never been here over the summer, what you need to know is that we are about to watch some movie clips in church. And we will get to a scripture, I promise. We will get to the Bible. We will point out how this has to do with Jesus and what this has to do with God. But you need to bear with us because we are going to have some fun and we're going to watch some movie clips. And there's actually a precedence for this in the scriptures. Anyone that would ever say it's not very holy, it's not very, you know, church-like to watch film in church, I would argue you don't listen or don't really know Jesus' life. Because the scriptures paint a picture that every time Jesus taught, he did something that was actually entertaining. Look at what Matthew 13, 34 says. It says, "Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a," would you guys just finish and read that last word, a what? A parable. What's a parable? It's a story with a point. And large crowds, thousands of people would gather to hear Jesus teach, and he would tell them these stories. They were entertaining. Now, we know that they were entertaining because oftentimes the crowd would come to hear Jesus tell a parable, and they wouldn't even ask what the point of the parable was. They would just leave entertained. And his followers, his disciples, would come to him and say, "Hey, great story, Jesus, but what was the point of that?" And oftentimes, when I think of our movies today and our modern-day parables, I think about the same thing that Jesus went through. That oftentimes we just watch a movie and we don't analyze and ask ourselves, what was the point of that? What was the story? Every movie that you watch has a point. Every movie that you watch has a story. It has a message that it's trying to tell you. And so in this series, one of the things that we do is we look at some movie clips, but then we try to ask, what's the point of that movie? And does it point us back to the scriptures? And so with that being said, I want to introduce this week's film. This week's film, our parable, it was a massive hit. It was scheduled to come out in 2019, but production went long because of all the special effects, and it actually got bumped to 2020. But in 2020, we all know the pandemic happened, and so the film was not released because movie theaters were basically shut down then. during the next couple years, during that time, there was a lot of pressure for all these movies that were supposed to be in the theater to come out to streaming only. And there were lots of companies like Netflix and Amazon that were in a bidding war to try to get this movie that we're going to watch to go straight to streaming and not go to the theater. But the star of the movie put his foot down and said, no, this is a film that you have to see on the big screen. You cannot just see it in the comfort of your home. And he held on to it for 2 years. And then in May of 2022, the film came out and it was well worth the wait. It was a massive hit. It went on to gross $1.46 billion. That's a lot of money. But what you need to understand is that's not just a lot of money today. That is an extra amount of money coming out of the pandemic. Movies don't make what they used to make in the theaters. So the fact that it crossed over the billion mark is a huge hit. And so with that being said, I now present to you our movie for week one of our series, Top Gun Maverick. Check it out. So Top Gun Maverick, it is a sequel to the 80s classic Top Gun. Anyone seen Top Gun? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, a lot of you have seen Top Gun. If you've never seen Top Gun, it is okay. You can watch Maverick and most of it will make sense. I know this because I saw Maverick in the theaters with my dad, and surprisingly, he had never seen Top Gun and he still loved the movie Top Gun Maverick. If you haven't seen it, though, it is enhanced by seeing the first one before you see the second one. For example, the scene we just saw is a callback to the original Top Gun, including the music is the exact same, and it very much mirrors what we saw in the very first film. And what we learn in the second film, even though it comes out 20 years after the first one, is it's still about Maverick. Maverick is the character that Tom Cruise plays. He is a fighter pilot, and he lives up to his name. Maverick continually breaks the rules, and it's why he hasn't moved up higher in the rankings. He's not a high-ranking official in the Navy. He continues to kind of just stay mid-level, and it's because he continues to break the rules. Well, what we learned pretty quickly in the film is that Tom Cruise's character, Maverick, is called back to Top Gun, and he goes reluctantly. He doesn't want to go, but it's an assignment. He's in the military. He has to do what they tell him to do, and so he shows up, and that sets up our next scene. Check it out.
Well, you survived that. It's a dogfight all the way home.
All requirements for which you have real-world experience.
Not the same mission, sir. Yeah. No, someone's not coming back from this.
Can it be done or not?
How soon before the plant becomes operational?
3 weeks, maybe less.
Well, it's been a while since I've flown an F-18, and I'm not sure who I trust to fly the other three, but I'll find a way to make it work.
I think you misunderstand, Captain.
Sir?
We don't want you to fly it. We want you to teach it.
Teach, sir?
We recalled 12 Top Gun graduates from their squadrons. We want you to narrow that pool down to 6. They'll fly the mission. Is there a problem, Captain?
You know there is, sir.
Yeah.
Bradley Bradshaw, a.k.a. Rooster. I understand he used to fly with his old man. What was his call sign?
Goose, sir.
Tragic, what happened?
Captain Mitchell was cleared of any wrongdoing. Goose's death was an accident.
Is that how you see it, Captain? Is that how Goose's son sees it?
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher.
You were a Top Gun instructor before.
That was almost 30 years ago. I lasted 2 months. It's not where I belong.
Well, then let me be perfectly blunt. You are not my first choice. In fact, you aren't even on a list. You were here at the request of Admiral Kazansky. Now, Iceman happens to be a man I deeply admire, and he seems to think that you have something left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine. You don't have to take this job, but let me be clear. This will be your last post, Captain. You fly for Top Gun, or you don't fly for the Navy ever again.
So in this scene, we learn that Maverick is called back to Top Gun, but it's not to fly, it's to be an instructor. And he pushes back on that. And one of the big reasons he pushes back is because one of the people he has to teach, he has some history with. His co-pilot in the first Top Gun went by the name of Goose, and he died in a training exercise with Maverick. Now, before you come at me and say spoiler alert, that movie came out in the 1900s. If you have not seen Top Gun, that's on you. Don't get mad at me. It's not my fault y'all haven't watched a movie from 1986. Goose passes away, but he has a son. And we actually meet his son in the first film. He's a little kid. He's grown up now. He's a fighter pilot. And Maverick has a history with him. And you can tell right away that it's a messed up, it's a messy history. He doesn't want to teach him because he's afraid for him. He's responsible somewhat for losing his dad. And so he doesn't want to be responsible for Rooster getting hurt. And so I did mention that Top Gun was a sequel, and one thing that the writers did that I think is a brilliant job is that they pay homage to the original without forcing it on us. Like, sometimes movies will do things to pander to the audience, and they put things in there just because they know the audience is going to love it, and it feels forced. Top Gun did their research, and they know the characters, and they throw little things in the movie that if you're not a fan of the first one, you just miss. It doesn't take away from the second one, but it does enhance it if you pay careful attention. And I want to show you one of those things. This is a throwaway scene from the original Top Gun. And once again, Maverick is in trouble. He's getting fussed at, and I want you to listen carefully to the last line of this scene. Check this out.
Maverick, you just did an incredibly brave thing. What you should have done was land your plane. You don't own that plane, the taxpayers do. Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash. You've been busted, you lost your qualifications as section leader 3 times, put in hack twice by me, with a history of high-speed passes over 5 air-controlled towers and 1 admiral's daughter.
So in that scene, Goose says a girl's name, Penny Benjamin. She's an admiral's daughter, and that's all you ever hear of her from the original Top Gun. But you fast forward 20 years later to Top Gun Maverick, and what you see is that Maverick he's gone to a bar. He's feeling sad. He's trying to reflect on, I either have to take this assignment or I'm out of the Navy. And while he's there, he meets someone that we've never met before, but if you pay careful attention, you will know her name. Check this out.
$20, you can't hit 3 in a row. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Pete.
Penny?
So if you didn't watch the first film or pay careful attention, you wouldn't have connected the dots that this isn't just some new person that they've randomly thrown into a film to give Maverick a love interest. This is actually a callback to the original film. And I think that's brilliant writing. One thing that I hate about the world we live in today and all the sequels is how much lazy writing is going on. They will make a film and they'll introduce something new that doesn't even play by the rules that they've established in the movie franchise. For example, if you've ever seen the franchise The Fast and the Furious, they never play by their own rules. They set up one thing and then they break it in the next film, including in The Fast and the Furious, the main character, Dom Toretto, he's constantly talking about family. It's like he works at the Olive Garden. He's always talking about family. I don't have friends. I have family. And there have been 10 films in this franchise, and it took 9 of them for us to learn that he has a brother? Are you kidding me? Like, that is lazy writing. If he has a brother, throw it in, at least in part 5. Why do you have to wait so long? It's lazy. It is so lazy. But Maverick, one of the reasons that I think it is a brilliant film is because the writers knew what they were doing. They're not lazy. They do callbacks that make sense. And it's like, okay, he does have a history. We didn't just throw in someone that we've never heard about. We understand that there is some history. There's some things going on here, and it makes sense because we've seen the first film. Well, in that scene, he unintentionally breaks a rule of the restaurant that he's at, and because of that, he has to pay for everyone to have drinks. And at the end, he tries to pay for it, and this sets up our next scene. Check this out.
It's been declined.
You're kidding.
Hey, guys. That won't cover it.
I'll come by tomorrow and bring you the cash.
I'm afraid. Rules are rules, Pete.
So this is where we really start to get into the parable of the film. It's easy to miss the parable because there's great action sequences, and it's incredibly amazing when you learn that Tom Cruise really flies the plane. He wanted the action to look real, so when you look at him in the cockpit, it really is him flying. It's not green screen, and so that's incredibly impressive, and that makes it easy to forget that there is a story, and the story is the relationship between Maverick and Rooster. And it's this relationship that carries throughout the film. And I want you to pay careful attention to a conversation that they have while they're doing a training exercise. Check this out.
You see me now? Come on, let's get it over with.
Fight's on!
What is with these two? All right, you put us here. How are you gonna get yourself out?
You can bail out anytime.
How low you wanna go, Rooster?
I can go as low as you, sir, and that's saying something.
What's past is past for both of us.
You'd like to believe that, wouldn't you?
Hard deck's 5,000 feet, fellas. You're running out of room.
Altitude.
Your strategy is about to run us into the ground.
What's your move?
Altitude.
Now you got it. Don't think. Just do.
Come on, Rooster. You got him. Drop down and take the shot. It's too low.
Too late. You had your chance. That's a kill.
So the action is great, but you may have missed. The dialogue is where we start to get the parable. And one thing that Maverick says to Goose is, what's past is past. And Goose says, you'd like to believe that, wouldn't you? And if you ever want to learn what the parable of a movie is, just look for recurring themes. When you see something that recurs over and over in the film, it's the writers telling you this is the purpose of this movie. And in the last scene that we'll see, I want you to pay careful attention because the dialogue points back to the parable of this film. Check it out.
Rooster, we're 20 seconds behind and drop it.
We're fine. Speed is good.
Increase to 500 knots.
Negative, Yale. Hold your speed.
Rooster, we're late.
We're alive. We'll make up time in the straightaway.
We are not gonna make it.
Just trust me. Maintain your speed. We can make it.
Why are you dead? You're team leader up there. Why is your team dead?
Sir, he's the only one who made it to the target.
A minute late. He gave enemy aircraft time to shoot him down. He is dead.
You don't know that.
You're not flying fast enough. You don't have a second to waste.
We made it to the target.
And superior enemy aircraft intercepted you on your way out.
Then it's a dogfight.
Against fifth generation fighters.
Yeah, we'd still have a chance.
In an F-18.
It's not the plane, sir. It's the pilot.
Exactly.
There's more than one way to fly this mission.
You really don't get it. On this mission, a man flies like Maverick here, or a man does not come back.
No offense intended.
Yet somehow, you always manage.
Look, I don't mean to criticize. You're conservative, that's all.
Lieutenant?
We're going into combat, son, on a level no living pilot's ever seen. Not even him. That's no time to be thinking about the past.
That's no time to be thinking about the past. This idea of the past is all throughout the film. It starts with understanding that Maverick is a dinosaur in the world that he lives in, and he's living in the past, and people are continually telling him to leave the past and move to the future, and then you get this relationship between him and Rooster, and it's all about, hey, can we move on from the past? Can we move on from what happened in the past, and can we create a new future together? And I think this film does a brilliant job of illustrating a theme that is found all throughout the scriptures, but I found one verse that is one of my all-time favorite verses that I think echoes the parable of Top Gun Maverick. In case you're taking notes, here's the parable of Top Gun Maverick. What's past is past. What happened in the past, it's in the past. We need to move on. And I think that echoes a theme that we find in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Apostle Paul wrote this verse to some of the earliest Christians. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. What's past is past. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you're a Christ follower, what you need to know is that when you signed up to be a Christian, it was more than just to receive a ticket to heaven. When you signed up to be a Christian, you signed up to get a new operating system. You are now not following your own life or your own will or your own plans. You are now following what God tells you to do. You have done away with the old, and now you are living for the new. The old way of thinking, the old way of doing things, that's gone. You now have a new system. God is not your co-pilot. He is the pilot. He's the one that you are aiming for and trying to obey. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone. The past is something that shapes part of our life. The past is something that impacts part of our life. But if you're a Christian today, we need to be very careful about living in the past, especially when it comes to our past experiences. Another way to say this, if you're taking notes, is don't live the way you used to live. After all, you aren't the person you used to be. Don't live the way you used to live. The old way of thinking, the old way of doing things, the way that everyone else does it, that's not who you are if you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, the scriptures say you are a brand new creation. Even if you don't feel brand new, that's who you are. Even if you struggle with making past decisions the same way over and over again, that's not who you are anymore. You are now aiming for a new target. And because you're aiming for a new target, we are called to move on from the past. This is going to be hard to do, especially when we have a past where we've been hurt by other people or where we've even hurt ourselves or let ourselves down. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Don't let your past define your future. Instead, let Jesus define your past. Don't let your past define your future. Instead, let Jesus define your past. We all have something from our past that we don't like. Maybe it's a decision that we made. Maybe it's multiple decisions that we've made where we just said, I wish I would have done it differently. Why did I go there? Why did I pursue that relationship? Why did I make that decision? But the truth is because we're imperfect, we've made imperfect decisions, but everyone else around us is imperfect. And sometimes our past has some wounds, it has some scars, and it's not because of something we've done, it's because something someone else has done. And their words or their actions has shaped us. And oftentimes when that happens, it is difficult to move on. It's difficult to move on from the past because we didn't ask for this part of our past. We didn't invite it in. We didn't want it to happen. And we didn't participate in it willingly. It happened to us. And when that happens, it can just like leave this memory that's in your mind. And you're like, okay, I'm 5 years removed. Why am I still thinking about that? I'm 10 years removed. Why am I still going back to that? I'm 15 years removed. And yet that one moment, it still shapes me. It's still something that I think about often. I know for me, one of the things that I constantly have to battle against and push away and say, no, that's not who I am, is a side of my personality. I didn't ask for it, just came. It's just this side of people-pleasing. And I don't know if you struggle with that or if it's something that's ever been a part of your life, but I want people to be happy, and I want people to enjoy life, and I want to be an encourager, and I want people to like me. I don't want people to be upset with me. And so when I first launched out to plant this church 11 years ago, one of the first people that I met with had some strong words for me. And the person said to me that I was without a doubt going to fail if I planted a church. And they specifically gave an illustration that said, for me to plant a church would be the equivalent of me trying out for the NBA. It doesn't matter how much I want it. It doesn't matter how much NBA I watch. It doesn't matter how many video games of the NBA I watch. Because of my height and my weight, there's just no way I'm ever going to make an NBA team. And this person said it's the same thing with planting a church. And I responded to them in that moment, I'm glad that you think that, because when this church succeeds, it's going to point to how great our God is, because I'm not equipped and I can't do it. But wait, there's more. I did feel that way in the moment, and I'm glad I responded that way. But can I just tell you, over the last 11 years, every time our church doesn't grow the way that I think we should be growing, and every time a family leaves and moves on, I hear those words, you're a failure. You can't do it. You're not where you want to be because of you. And the words just repeat, and that memory comes back to me. And it's in those moments that you have a choice to make. Am I going to live in the past, or am I going to fight against it? I'm a new creation in Christ. That was said to me in my past, but I'm not going to live back there. I'm going to fight against it. And because I have a new operating system, what Paul is telling us to do is when your past is coming back to haunt you, get your eyes off of yourself and your past and put them on Jesus as quickly as you possibly can. Look at what Paul says next in our verse. He says, all this is from God. All what? All being a new creation. It's all from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, as he had committed to us to the message of reconciliation. So this is where I think it echoes the movie Top Gun Maverick. That because we are a new creation, we are to move on from the past. But because we are a new creation, we are to bring reconciliation with us. And in the film, we see that the past has caused Maverick and Rooster to have division. They don't want to be around one another. They don't like each other. But the whole film points to them reconciling their relationship. Part of becoming a Christian is this new operating system that comes inside of you that says, because Jesus has reconciled me, I was rebellious against God. You were rebellious against God. You've been a sinner. I've been a sinner. And yet God sent his son to die for us. And because he died for us, when we believe, we are reconciled to him. He has forgiven us of our sins. And because of that, then Jesus says, listen, if you've received this gift of reconciliation, you then are going to reconcile other people. If you've received the gift of forgiveness, you're to go out and forgive other people. Because now you are to take the gift that God's given you and you're to share it with other people. You may be the only Jesus that someone knows. And so there's probably someone in your life who doesn't deserve forgiveness. And can I just take a real quick side note? Forgiveness does not mean that you allow someone to continually hurt you. Forgiveness does not mean that you allow a toxic person to continue to abuse you or hurt you. Forgiveness is not about them, it's about you. It's about you releasing and not living in the past and not letting them continually hurt you. And so if you have someone in your life who has wounded you at some point and they're not going to continue wounding you, it was a one-off or it was because they're imperfect. And if it's up to you, what the scripture is challenging us to do is that we are to be reconciled to them. We're to give them an olive branch. We're to reach out to them. We're to say, hey, listen, we've got a past. We've got some messiness. But because of my relationship with God, I want to see if we can work through it. 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 21, Paul says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you're a Christian and you are a new creation, you are called to be an ambassador for God. What that means is the way that you treat other people is a direct representation of the God that you serve. And there's someone in your life who does not believe in God or does not know God, but they will be introduced to God by the way that you are reconciled to them. And the way that you forgive them and the way that you don't hold their sin against them, it's not a testament to how great you are. It's a testament to what God has done for you. And we don't forgive because we're good people, and we don't forgive because it's easy. No, it's difficult to be reconciled with people in our past. We don't do it for us. We do it because of what Jesus has done for us. And here's the amazing thing. When you are a new creation, your past becomes a part of your story, but it no longer defines you. So when you have a past, you don't have to hide it. You don't have to be embarrassed by it because that's not who you are anymore. You can share with people, yeah, you know what? I have struggles. I have faults. I have insecurities. But guess what? I'm a new creation. I'm not going to pretend to be something better than I am because my identity is not in myself. My identity is in Jesus. I like this quote by Jared Wilson. He says, don't hide your scars. Wear them as proof that God heals. If you're here today and you've got some stuff in your past, you don't have to be ashamed of it. You don't have to let it define you. You don't have to beat yourself up about it. You can move on, but the way to move on is by getting your eyes on Jesus, who has created you to be a brand new creation. So here's a couple questions that I want you to reflect on, questions to take with you that I want you to ask this week as you're thinking about this sermon. Here's some questions for reflection. Number one, are you living as a new creation in Christ? If you're not a Christian, then that's one thing. But if you're here today and you would say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I signed up on the dotted line. I gave my life to Jesus. Well, then are you living like you are a new creation? Or have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what God's called you to? And the second question is this. Who is God asking you to reconcile with? If you are a new creation, would you just take a moment just to quietly just still your hearts and say, okay, God, is there someone out there that because of our past, because of the things we've been through, it's just difficult, it's been hard, I'm holding on to the pain. And even if I never talk to them again, I want to give them forgiveness, not because they deserve it, but because of what you've done for me. So who is God asking you to reconcile with? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we wrap things up? I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never been reconciled to him, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. If you've never asked Jesus to be a part of your life, I want to lead you in a prayer, and you can just repeat it quietly in the stillness of your heart. If you'd like to get to know the God of the universe, if you want him to forgive you of your sins, just repeat this prayer after me. God, thank you that you forgive me for my sins. Thank you that you reconcile me. Thank you for your grace. God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I claim your forgiveness now. And I ask that you'd help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, we'd love to know about it, and we'd love to celebrate with you. And so if you would scan that QR code and let us know, someone will be in contact with you. We'd love to hear, answer any questions you have, and also celebrate with you. And in just a few moments, our prayer team will be up at the front. And so at the end of the service, if you have a prayer request or something you need to pray with, they will be up here at the front. But I want to pray for us again, and then we'll continue by concluding our service. We pray, God, just ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to live out what you've called us to live out, and that you'd help us to do what you tell us to do, even when it's difficult. And we thank you for the gift of reconciliation. We thank you for the gift of being able to watch movies in church, and we just ask you'd help us to live for you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at nextlevel757. Join us next time.